This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Deuteronomy. Now, here's Pastor Sandy in the book of Deuteronomy as he teaches chapters 1 through 4.
Deuteronomy chapter 1. What does the Andy Griffith show, I Love Lucy, Batman, and the Law of Moses have in common? Holy rerun, Batman. They've all been re-released. Well, the book of Deuteronomy is exactly that. It's a holy rerun. The word Deuteronomy literally means second law. The Greeks used it as a word to mean copy or duplicate. Deuteronomy was a refresher course on the law of Moses for the younger generation that was about to enter a new land. The Hebrews, those people that God had delivered from Egypt, had exited bondage. They were free, but they had never achieved the victory that God desired for them. They received God's law at Mount Sinai, but they failed to trust in God and to enter into the promised land. And as a result, a whole generation ended up buried in the wilderness. But now their children are camped by the banks of the Jordan River with another opportunity to trust and obey. A land of prosperity and bounty lies just ahead of them. But as they embark, God prepares them by repeating to them the same set of standards and instructions He gave to their fathers at Mount Sinai. Deuteronomy is, in essence, Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, all sort of summarized and repackaged. The book begins, "These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain opposite Zuf, between Paran, Tophel, Labim, Hazeroth, and Dizahab." These are all locations deep in the Sinai Peninsula, still near Mount Sinai. This was their starting point, and yet victory was just a few days away. We're told in verse 2, "It is 11 days' journey from Horeb," another name for Sinai, "by way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea." After receiving the law of God at Mount Sinai, the first generation was just 11 days. Did you hear that? Just 11 days, less than 2 weeks from victory, from blessing, from prosperity. I mean, they could taste the milk and the honey. But notice the jab in verse 3. "Now it came to pass in the," what year? 40th year. They were 11 days away. Now we're in the 40th year. "In the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as commandments to them." Now here they are 40 years later. The journey from Mount Sinai or Horeb to Kadesh Barnea normally took 11 days. Kadesh was a Canaanite border town, their gateway into the blessing of God. And yet 40 years later, the Hebrews were still on the wrong side of the Jordan, still on the outside looking in. Unbelief. Notice that. It was unbelief that turned an 11-day trip into a 40-year death march. But when the first generation died off, the tide began to turn. And victories over the Amorite kings east of the Jordan set a stage for a new day in the life of Israel. He says, "For after he had killed Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and Og of be glad your parents didn't name you Og, who dwelt at Azeroth in Edrea on this side of the Jordan in the land of Moab." Remember, Moab was just west. You know what you might do tonight is flip back over into the back of your Bible to the maps there. It might help you out as you go through this. Moab was just west of the Dead Sea. It was right there along the Jordan River. This is where they've gotten. They haven't crossed over. They're in Moab. The first generation would have entered the promised land from the south, from Kadesh. Their descendants, though, will cross over the Jordan and enter in from the east, from Moab. Well, in Moab, Moses renews the nation's marching orders, you might say. Moses began to explain this law, saying, "The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, 'You have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains and in the lowland, in the south and on the seacoast, to the land of the Canaanites, notice this, and to Lebanon as far as the great river, which is the river Euphrates. Notice this is the land that God promised Israel. It includes what is today most of the Middle East. Notice their boundaries. It includes Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, even Iraq to the river Euphrates. This is all the land that God has deeded to the Jews. And people quibble and complain about them taking the land that they currently possess. Their rightful land is much more. He says, "See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them." Notice, the land belonged to the Hebrews, but they had to take possession. They had to rise up in faith and grab hold of all that God had given to them. Did you know that you too have to grab hold of what God has given to you? This is true of us. The joy of the Lord, the peace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus has been deeded to every single believer. But we don't always experience these blessings because we buckle under to fear like the Hebrews. Or we get distracted by the world and we don't reach out and grab hold of what God has for us. This is why we need faith. Moses says in verse 9, "And I spoke to you at that time saying, I alone am not able to bear you. The Lord your God has multiplied you, and here you are today as the stars of heaven in multitude." Numbers chapter 1 tells us that the nation that exited Egypt numbered 603,550 fighting men. That's males 20 years old and older. Add the women and children, and the Hebrew nation probably numbered close to 3 million people. Well, Moses notes their vast numbers, verse 11. "And may the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times more numerous than you are and bless you as he has promised you. But how can I alone bear your problems and your burdens and your complaints?" Moses is so thankful that God has numbered the people, has caused the people to grow, but he's the one in charge of their care. And this is simply too many people for him to attend to all their needs. It was Exodus chapter 18 that tells us that Moses' father-in-law was the one who came to the rescue. Remember Jethro? Not Jethro Bodine, but Jethro. Moses' father-in-law. He sat down and he had a long talk with Moses. And he told him that, hey, you're frustrated because you lack an important skill. You lack the skill of delegation. This is too much for you, Moses. And Jethro told Moses how he should sit down and he should divide the people up into smaller groups and put judges over each of the groups. And those that cases that were too hard for the judges to decide, then they could bring them back to Moses. But he needed to delegate some responsibility. You know, some of us are frustrated and agitated because we haven't learned the art of delegation. It's so important. Why experience frustration when all you have to do is learn delegation? If a man the stature of Moses couldn't do it all, neither can you. When God surrounds a minister with able people willing to help, he needs to pass on, not hold on, to the responsibility. Well, these next few verses recount what Moses did. And then in verse 19, Moses continues the history lesson. He wants this younger generation to learn from their parents' mistakes. He says, "So we departed from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites as the Lord our God had commanded us." Now, when these young guns, this younger generation, fought Sihon and Og, they walked up the Jordan River on the eastern bank. And that allowed them to look over the river at the bounty in the land flowing with milk and honey. All of the blessings that they could have had 40 years earlier, but instead ended up growing up in a barren wilderness. And as they walked up the Jordan River and saw all this, they shook their heads and they wondered why their parents could be so stupid. Like some other young people that I know, they thought, "How could my parents be so dumb?" Hey, let me warn you, especially if you're a young gun, let me warn you, it's easy to criticize your parents, but it's much harder to rise above your parents. It's surprising how easy it is to repeat the same mistakes we loathe in our parents. Probably once a week or so, I look in the mirror and I say, "That's my dad." Moses is warning the kids to rise above their parents, to not repeat the same mistakes, but to learn from their mistakes. I've always said, if my kids don't turn out a lot better than me, I will be greatly disappointed. I hope they have the same goal. Then we came to Kadesh Barnea. And in the next few verses, Moses recounts the story from Numbers chapter 13, when Moses sent 12 men to spy out the promised land. You remember this story. The spies returned with huge clusters of grapes. And in verse 25, we read they share their report with Moses. "It is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us." Indeed it was. But notice what happens in verse 26. "Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you complained in your tents and said, 'Because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, "The people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there." And Numbers 13 actually refers to the sons of Anakim as giants. There are giants in the land. "Then I said to you, 'Do not be terrified or be afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you. According to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place.'" God carried Israel like a man carries his son. How does a man carry his son? He rides him piggyback. God gave Israel a piggyback ride. You remember what he did? He broke the wheel of Yul Brynner with 10 miraculous plagues. And then he parted the Red Sea, even though that little twerpy Edward G. Robinson kept scoffing at Moses. And then God sent bread from heaven for them to eat, and he brought water from the rock for the people to drink. And God guided them supernaturally through the desert. He went before them in a cloud by day and with a fire by night. Verse 32 says, "Yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God who went in the way before you to search out a place for you to pitch your tents, to show you the way that you should go in the fire by night and in the cloud by day." God carried them piggyback. He put the nation Israel up on his shoulders and he carried them. And he planned to put them down in the land of Canaan had their faith not been overwhelmed with their fear. The plan of God was thwarted because of their unbelief. Fear is a dangerous thing. Fear will rob you of God's blessings. Being afraid to move, being content where you are, being afraid to risk it, it'll rob you. You need faith, not fear, to inherit the blessings that God has for you. He says, "The Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry and took an oath saying, 'Surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land of which I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it. And to him and his children, I am giving the land on which he walked because he wholly followed the Lord.'" Boy, Caleb was the one of the two spies who gave a good report. He was only one of two people among the first generation to survive and enter into the promised land. And it was because he believed, he trusted God. He wholly followed the Lord. And Moses mentions the other survivors well. "The Lord was also angry with me for your sake, saying, 'Even you shall not go in there. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it.'" Joshua also would live to see and enjoy the blessings of the promised land. "Moreover, your little ones and your children, who you say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there. To them I will give it, and they shall possess it." Isn't that interesting? You remember the first generation, when they got to the promised land, they said, "Oh, we can't go in there. They'll kill off all our children. You know, all of our children will be slaughtered." the first generation worried about the giant slaughtering their kids. It was those kids, because of their faith, who ended up slaughtering the giants. But as for you, turn and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. That was it for the first generation. They were sentenced to 40 years in the desert. Reminds me of that poem. Anybody ever heard that poem, Footprints in the Sand? Anybody ever heard that poem? Yeah, it's a moving poem. It's a man, he has this dream. He's walking down the beach. He sees two sets of footprints, and he realized that God has been walking by his side the whole time. But on occasion, during trials, during difficult moments, the man sees only one set of footprints. And the man asked God, he said, why did you leave me during these difficult times, these difficult moments? And God answers him, he says, son, I didn't leave you. In fact, it was during the tough times that I carried you. And that's why you only saw one set of footprints. What a wonderful story. But that was not the story of the children of Israel in the wilderness. Here's their story. One night I had a wondrous dream. One set of footprints there was seen. The footprints of my precious Lord, but mine were not along the shore. But then some stranger prints appeared, and I asked the Lord, what have we here? Those prints are large and round and neat, but Lord, they are too big for feet. My child, he said in somber tones, for miles I carried you alone. I challenged you to walk in faith, but you refused and made me wait. You disobeyed, you would not grow. The walk of faith you would not know. So I got tired, I got fed up, and there I dropped you on your rump. Because in life there comes a time when one must fight and one must climb, when one must rise and take a stand or leave their rump prints in the sand. Rump prints in the sand. That is exactly what happened to the first generation. God set them down on their rump. They wouldn't move, they wouldn't believe, they wouldn't trust the Lord. God demonstrated his faithfulness to them over and over and over. He carried them piggyback, and yet they refused to trust him. And literally, God dropped them in the sand. They died in the wilderness. The rest of the chapter recounts the reaction of the Israelites when they realized that how they had missed their opportunity. They take up weapons. They go out to fight. Oh, now they're going to do it on their own. But the Lord is not with them. They go out on their own strength, and they end up routed. And this is a warning not to repeat their parents' mistakes. All this was a warning. Learn from your parents. Don't do what they did. It's been said experience is the best teacher. But why does it always happen to be your own experience? A wise person learns from the experiences of others. Chapter 2, then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea. As the Lord spoke to me, and we skirted Mount Seir for many days. They skirted, or they circled Mount Seir, which was a range of mountains south of the Dead Sea. Notice what he's saying. We went around in circles. For the next 40 years, they walk around through the wilderness in circles, skirting Mount Seir. Verse 3, and the Lord spoke to me, saying, you have skirted this mountain long enough, turn northward. There does come a time, though, when God renews his promise, when he takes them off the shelf, and he decides to do something special with them again. Perhaps that's what God is saying to you tonight. Maybe your life's been going around in circles. Maybe you've been skirting Mount Seir long enough. Maybe tonight is your time to believe God and to trust him, and to really reach out with a hand of faith and grab hold of the blessings that he has deeded to you. Well, the second generation begins their march to the promised land, and they pass through the boundaries of three nations, Edom, Moab, and Ammon. And remember, all three of these nations were relatives of Israel. Edom, or Esau, was Israel, or Jacob's brother. Moab and Ammon were sons of Lot, who was Abraham's nephew. All three of these nations are related to Israel. And they occupy territory that God has given them. And so, God is going to instruct the Hebrews not to meddle, not to harass, not to battle with these three nations, but to purchase supplies from them to respect their territory. It is a gift from God to them to pass through. Verse 4, and command the people, saying, you are to pass through the territory of your brethren, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. Therefore, watch yourselves carefully. Do not meddle with them, for I will not give you any of their land, no, not so much as one footstep, because I've given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall buy food from them with money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water from them with money that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, you have lacked nothing. It is amazing that for those 40 years, God was faithful to these people. Notice they lacked nothing. Not one night in 40 years did they ever go to bed hungry. Not one day in 40 years did they ever lay down thirsty. In fact, chapter 8, verse 4 of Deuteronomy tells us that for four decades, the clothes that the Hebrews wore in the wilderness didn't wear out. My son goes through a pair of shoes in 3 months. But I mean, for four decades, their clothes refused to wear out. Their feet never got swollen. The whole time they walked through the wilderness, God provided for them. Imagine the population of metropolitan Atlanta trudging through the desert. Do you think we'd have any problems? Hey, the same number of people, and yet God provided their needs, proof of God's faithfulness. Well, in verse 8, and when we passed beyond our brethren, the descendants of Esau who dwelt in Seir, away from the road of the plain, away from Eloth and Ezion-Geber, we turned and passed by the wilderness of Moab. Then the Lord said to me, do not harass Moab, nor contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land as a possession, because I have given Ar to the descendants of Lot as a possession. The Emim had dwelt there in times past, a people as great and numerous and tall as the Anakim. They were also regarded as giants, like the Anakim, but the Moabites called them Emim. That's an interesting bit of information. The Horites formerly dwelt in Seir, but the descendants of Esau dispossessed them and destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their place, just as Israel did to the land of their possession, which the Lord gave them. Now rise and cross over the valley of Zered. So we crossed over the valley of Zered, and the time we took to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the valley of Zered was 38 years. Until all the generation of the men of war was consumed from the midst of the camp, just as the Lord had sworn to them. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from the midst of the camp until they were consumed. So it was, when all the men of war had finally perished from among the people, that the Lord spoke to me, saying, this day you are to cross over at Ar, the boundary of Moab, and when you come near the people of Ammon, another nation, protected nation, do not harass them or meddle with them, for I will not give you any of the land of the people of Ammon as a possession. You get the message here. God is saying, take what you're supposed to take. Don't take what you're not supposed, what doesn't belong to you. Keep your hands to yourself. It's good wisdom. Because I have given it to the descendants of Lot as a possession. That was also regarded as a land of giants. Giants formerly dwelt there, but the Ammonites called them Zamzumim, a people as great and numerous and tall as the Anakim, but the Lord destroyed them from before them, and they dispossessed them and dwelt in their place, just as he had done for the descendants of Esau who dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites from before them. They dispossessed them and dwelt in their place even to this day. And the Avim, who dwelt in the villages as far as Gaza, the Kaphtorim, who came from Kaphtor, destroyed them and dwelt in their place. They were some pre-Philistine people.
Deuteronomy is an interesting Old Testament book. It restates many of the laws the Israelites were to live by under their covenant with God. And it also shares a reminder of how important it was for them to cling to God in times of trouble. We too, when we face trials in this life, can hold tightly to the truth and love of our Creator. God will stand with us through it all, giving us the strength and comfort we need at every turn. If you'd like to know more about what it means to have this kind of connection with God, we'd love to tell you more. give us a call at 770-736-2828. If you'd like to hear today's message again or listen to other messages from Pastor Sandy, visit our website at sandyadams.org. We have an archive of teachings on various topics, as well as book-by-book studies through the entire Bible. Scroll down to the bottom of the page to find the book you'd like to study. You can also listen to these messages on our mobile app. We know how busy this life can be. Between work, school, family, friends, errands, pets, the list can go on and on. And squeezing time in for in-depth Bible study can be difficult. With our mobile app, you'll have in-depth biblical teachings with you wherever you go, right at your fingertips. Find links to download at sandyadams.org or search for Sandy Adams in your app store. That's all the time we have for today. Join Pastor Sandy for more from the book of Deuteronomy right here on Sandy Adams Radio.